This is Standing Watch. And now, Evangelist Norbert Link.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. The issue of abortion can raise many difficult questions. And many people, including Christians, including Jews, including others, are confused about the question, when is abortion permitted? Today I'd like to introduce you to two concepts, one taught by the Catholic Church and endorsed pretty much by many, if not most, Protestant churches, and then the other totally contradictory concept by modern Orthodox Judaism. And then I'd like to talk to you about what the Bible has to say about abortion. But first we got to understand something very fundamentally. Human life begins at conception. That is, when a baby is conceived, that baby is a human being. And scientific research has clearly proposed this now, agreed to it, but more importantly, the Bible tells us this. The Bible tells us that it is very clearly established that a human being has a spirit. And that spirit in man, as it is called, we describe in our booklet, for instance, on evolution in great detail. And the strong indication is that God is giving this human spirit to a human being at the time of conception. Now, we don't know exactly how that's being done, but we know that is going to happen. And so, therefore, a human being is a human being at the time of conception. So if a child is aborted in the mother's womb subsequent to conception, we are cutting short human life. So now the Roman Catholic Church made an interesting announcement. On AFP, or on September 1, AFP wrote this. Pope Francis on Tuesday called on priests to pardon women who have abortions during the upcoming Jubilee year. It says, I have decided, notwithstanding anything to the contrary, to concede to all priests for the Jubilee year the discretion to absolve of the sin of abortion those who have procured it and who, with contrite heart, seek forgiveness, he said. Now, this Jubilee year starts in December. Let me just say that the Bible doesn't talk about a Jubilee year in that concept and that context. In other words, that for 1 year you can just forgive a sin, and then after that it's a sin again which is not forgiven. But in any event, the article goes on to say that Francis said he knew that while abortion is experienced by some with a superficial awareness, many others believe that they have no other option. The pontiff said he was well aware of the pressure that some women were under to abort, adding that he had met so many women who bear in their heart the scar of this agonizing and painful decision. And yes, absolutely, that is true. And of course, I am not addressing here the issue of crime. I am not addressing the issue whether a woman who aborts a child should go to jail for it. I am addressing the issue as a Christian pastor as to what the Bible has to say and whether we as Christians should abort under some or any circumstance. The article goes on to say that abortion is considered by the Catholic Church a particularly serious sin and is punishable under canon law by excommunication, by which those guilty are expelled from the church and considered to be condemned to hell in the afterlife. Now, that is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible doesn't teach a ever-burning hell, and people who are ending up in that hell will be tortured forever and ever. The Bible does teach about a fiery furnace, the lake of fire, in which those who commit the unpardonable sin will be thrown into to be burned up. Their existence will cease. But a woman who is tortured by the thought of, let's say, incest was involved, rape was involved, or her life is in danger, she is tortured by the thought of perhaps committing abortion, has not committed the unpardonable sin. Now, it is a sin, as I will show you. It needs to be repented. But this repentance can happen any time. It doesn't have to happen within 1 year, the so-called Jubilee year, the Catholic Church has it. It can happen at any time. And God will forgive at any time when you repent, when you understand that what you did was wrong and are really sorry in your heart that you have done it. God will forgive you. There is no sin too big which God will not forgive upon repentance. But let us also understand this, my friends. It's not over with an aborted child. In other words, if a mother aborts the child and thinks, okay, that's the end of it, it is not the end of it. Because the Bible also teaches us that the time will come when every human being will be brought back to life. An aborted child will be brought back to life. Not as a child, I don't believe that, as an adult, as God created Adam and Eve, not as children. But that child will face his or her mother. And then conversation will take place between the mother and the child or the children she might have aborted. Can you imagine the contents of that discussion, that conversation? Mother, why did you abort me? Why did you kill me? Hopefully, by that time, the mother has deeply repented of it, and the child then, understanding the situation, will forgive the mother in what we call the Great White Throne Judgment. But can you imagine what may happen? We have prepared a booklet on the mysteries of the Book of Revelation. And that free booklet goes into the issue of what will happen after our death. And is there going to be a hellfire, like some erroneously teach? But this is the first concept which is taught by the Roman Catholic Church and by many other Protestant religions. But here is the other concept, and that was published by the Daily Caller, dated August 26. And I'd like to read this to you. It is written by an Orthodox Jew. It says, in recent weeks, presidential candidate Marco Rubio has defended his opposition to abortion in all cases, even to save the life of the mother, by claiming a scientific consensus that life begins at conception. As such, the argument goes, a law protecting the mother's life over that of a fetus would be criminal. He may not know, though, that his position could destroy the lives of some Orthodox Jews like me. Because in our faith tradition, abortion to save the life of the mother is not permitted, it is mandatory. Jewish law considers a fetus threatening the mother's life to be a rodef, a pursuer, similar to a knife-wielding man about to murder someone. Jewish law requires killing a rodef to protect the life of an innocent person. Well-respected modern Orthodox rabbi Shlomo Riskin has explained the Jewish approach this way. What determines the right of life for the fetus is its potential danger. If it pursues the mother, threatening her life, then the fetus must be destroyed. The article goes on to say that there are other situations, like, let's say, where a child has a fatal diagnosis, pretending a short and painful life, and then the Jewish law permits an abortion under those circumstances. But it goes on to say that that rule does not apply to mandatory termination of life-threatening pregnancies under Jewish law. Now, if that position is true, if that is in fact what Orthodox Judaism teaches, then that is totally against what the Bible has to say. Now, I have never heard anything like that, to compare an innocent child in the mother's womb with a murderer out there to intentionally kill an innocent person, the mother. What happens to the innocent child? It is an unbelievable concept. It is totally against the Bible. But that poses the question, when would abortion be permitted? Under those circumstances, is it permitted? When, let's say, the life of the mother is in danger. Now, we have prepared another booklet. Should you fight in war? Again, it's absolutely free for the asking. It doesn't just talk about war. It talks about situations like self-defense, so-called. It talks about situations like abortion. Is it permitted? When is it permitted? Let's understand, we are talking about human life. And are we as Christians allowed to take human life under any circumstance? I'm not talking about the state and what they want to do with their business. We are talking about individual Christians. You see, my friends, it is a very difficult situation, and I totally understand that. But we also need to understand this. We mustn't leave God out of the picture. In far too many cases, people are getting counsel from experts and doctors, and they tell you, you have to have an abortion because your life is in danger, or the child's life won't last long. How do we know that? Because God is still in the picture, isn't he? And if we turn over our lives to God, how do we know that God will not intervene, that he will not perform a miracle? Are we limiting God so much in our thought processes that we think that God cannot do anything about it, that we have to rely on the opinions of doctors, and that we cannot rely on the almighty hand of God? This is something we all need to understand, and that is something we all need to go through when we are facing with such a very difficult situation. And I believe that our booklets, which we are offering you free of charge, will help you understanding what the bigger picture is and what the Bible has to say about these things, including the sometimes very agonizing decision regarding abortion. But let's not forget, and let us understand, we would take the life of an innocent person. Can we as true Christians ever permit ourselves to do that? Thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.
Standing Watch is a presentation by The Church of the Eternal God, P.O. Box 270519, San Diego, California, 92198. More information is also available at our website, eternalgod.org.